Hi, thanks so much for coming. You guys are totally welcome in the back to come closer if you like. We will not hurt you or maim anyone, or I will not judge you. I can't account for the professional gossip to my right, but I will not judge you. My name is Heather Gold, and I'm really excited to have you all here. I like to do this the way I do the show that I do, which will be also happening tomorrow night at Schultz Beer Garden, where the theme will be opting out. And now the theme is going to be gossip, which is a passion of the man to my right, Owen Thomas, where this idea came from. I like to organize conversations around things people really care about. Owen really cares about this, which is why I care about it, because he genuinely cares about it, not like all fakey just because he gets paid to do it. Like, he actually really loves it. So we'll just get, to get started, we'll talk to each person here, and then this will run like a collective inquiry. So you all have as much expertise on who you are and on the world as we have on our points of view. So we're interested in what you think. Feel free to join. And unfortunately, we don't have a wireless mic, so you still have to stand and go to the mic. But, let me know your name so that I know who you are and how I can address you. And, let's start with the man all the way to my left.
Hello.
Who wishes he had a drink. Ev Williams. So how would you like to, like if you meet someone at a party and someone says, what do you do? What do you say?
I say I work on the internet.
And they say, okay, what on the internet?
I work at a small startup in San Francisco called Twitter.
And what does that do?
Twitter is a social messaging platform.
What's a platform?
Twitter is a thing that lets you send a message from yourself to many other people if they care to hear it.
How many people here don't know what Twitter is? And it's totally cool if you don't. Anyone? A couple. Okay. There's also a really cool video someone made. I think it's linked on Boing Boing.
The video is fantastic by Lee Lefevre.
Lee Lefevre?
Who is here. Somewhere, maybe not in this room, but it's fantastic. Twitter in plain English. It explains it much better than I ever have.
But Twitter responds. Part of what interests me about Twitter in terms of this conversation is it responds to our basic impulse, or it plays on our basic desire to share something we know with somebody. In fact, it lets us do that like faster than we could do even like if you were in class together, probably even faster than sending a note across the class in paper. You could get it to them.
We call it a real-time messaging, not platform. But the idea is we frame it around what are you doing? And implied is now. And people send a lot of messages about what they're doing that are only interesting because of the now part. And people also take that to mean what's happening around you now. So it's sort of a reporting mechanism at times too. So people here at South by Southwest are talking about this panel or this party. And it's all about the now, which is a sort of a different aspect than a lot of the internet communication.
And it's really short.
We could test it right now. We could have someone. Could someone just Twitter out that this is the best panel ever?
Yeah, in the room 12, and see if we can get people to come here. Just Twitter that we're having hot lesbian sex on stage in the room, and see how fast that gets people here. It worked. So, what was the other thing I wanted to ask you about Twitter? The impulse to tell other people things really quick. I actually get most of my news from Twitter at this point. It's true.
So
I use Twitter as sort of, I'm a fan of it because it sort of filters everything for me. I don't have to go through lots and lots of the people I subscribe to have points of view I'm interested in, and they often send links to interesting stories about things I care about. So I get a lot of my news that way, which seemed to disturb Shyla to my left, whose career is the news, pretty much.
What do you mean by that? Like, do you mean that you get a Twitter and it says Bill Clinton said something racist and you never find out what it was he said? You sort of take it for granted that it was racist?
I might. I do two things. And Shyla Dwan, right? How do you describe what you do to people?
I'm a newspaper reporter.
That's so cool.
So quaint.
And you write for?
I write for the New York Times.
And what do you write about?
I write about the South, mostly. The Southland.
So that mean you write stories?
Not including Texas.
What has been deep fried and dipped in powdered sugar lately?
Not so much. More like what sugar refineries have caught on fire, where the hurricanes have wiped out portions of our culture.
You covered Hurricane Katrina?
Local corruption. I covered Hurricane Katrina. I wrote a lot about the evacuees and where they were going and what was happening to them and how battered they were by FEMA, et cetera.
FEMA battering. It's like a whole, like, FEMA like battered
credibility battering, like the New York Times goes through every
right. Well, you know, it's hard to escape. You'd ask me what it means. So if someone said Bill Clinton said something, for example, I follow one of the people I follow is Baratunde. Is he here? He's a fun writer, comic, someone I met at South by Southwest who's pretty funny and is very into politics. And as soon as Barack Obama started running, his life became all Barack Obama all the time. Now, Baratunde tells me much faster than the New York Times what's going on with Barack Obama, partially because he cares more, I think. And he's actually involved in the campaign. And also he's like funny things he says about it, or he'll point me to a blog that would take me long. So I'll go and maybe read more about it, but it depends on the kind of person I'm following. He's the kind of person who actually will like follow it like a story and keep updating me on it. So sometimes not. And I sometimes do it for other people. Like I'll watch the Academy Awards and I'll Twitter whatever I think is interesting or funny or ridiculous about it. And then if you can't watch the Academy Awards, you can just kind of follow my Twitters in lieu of watching the delightful Academy Awards. Now, the inspiration for this wonderful conversation, to my right, Owen Thomas from ValleyWag. Does anyone not know ValleyWag?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He lives for that.
That was cool.
Thanks. What's your name?
Not you.
It's true. I prefer the licking a little more. Okay. Sorry. I can't help it. We're like the only queer content in South by Southwest, Owen and I. We've been like the only internet queer content in public for 10 years.
This is 1995.
That's right. So I felt like it's my responsibility to give a shout out to the one other lesbian in the room who will email me later and be really excited they made the comment. Yeah, rock on. Woohoo. Sweet. I love that. Okay. So Owen, explain ValleyWag if anyone doesn't know it real quick.
ValleyWag is Silicon Valley's tech gossip rag.
Is it kind of like Chris Nolan stopped writing about gossip, so we have to?
I don't know how many of you have heard of Chris Nolan. She is a famous columnist for the San Jose Mercury News.
She's so famous, you all know her.
Famous in the little world of the Bay Area. And she did a really great job of mixing gossip with breaking news stories like the merger of Excite at Home. And I think that mix of business news, personalities, you know, I really admired that in Chris's work.
And can everyone hear Owen?
I definitely want to bring it to ValleyWag.
Okay, otherwise you have to bring it, you know, bring it closer to your mouth, Owen.
All right. Don't go there.
So you did traditional business journalism for quite a while, right?
That was all a big mistake.
So who did you write for? What did you do before you were doing ValleyWag?
Well, I worked for Red Herring, Wired, Time Magazine, most recently before ValleyWag, Business 2.0, the late lamented Business 2.0. I seem to have this history of killing publications. Like Business 2.0 is dead. Its predecessor, eCompany Now, also no more. The old Red Herring went away, and I don't think the new Red Herring really replaced it. The most beloved dead publication that I worked for was Suck.com.
Yeah, old schoolers.
Who's heard of Suck.com?
Yeah.
Thank you. You warm my heart that you're keeping the memory alive. But Suck.com was this daily publication. It had a mix of cultural critique, gossip, obscure tech references that really created this tight connection with its readers. And that's another thing that I learned from my past experience that I want to bring to ValleyWag.
So why do you love to gossip, Owen?
Well, I define gossip as what people are talking about. And that is inherently interesting. It is the best filter for deciding what your readers are going to be interested in. And it's an incredibly broad definition, but basically, my first inspiration for writing a post is this something that people are talking about?
But weren't you into gossip before you were running ValleyWag?
Oh, absolutely. It's just thanks to people like Ev, you know, technology has made gossip more efficient than ever. How many times have you heard the word efficient today?
Oh,
at
God.
At the conference. Everything needs to be efficient, apparently. Did you know that?
No.
That's what people are talking about,
life
efficiency.
Life is not efficient. I know, tell David Allen. It's just not. Being alive is very messy. So I want to know why, but when did you first know you loved to gossip? Were you a little gossip in junior high? I mean, when were you like, I need to know? Because I used to date a journalist, and I found from hanging out with journalists that they were all incredible gossips. This is before the explosion of blogging. I mean, they needed not just to know the story first about Apple or Intel or whatever they had to write about. They need to know about each other in particular, who was sleeping with who jilted who was now dating whose ex-boyfriend, who has environmental, like chemical problems, whatever. They needed to know immediately.
I want to know, why did that woman boo you?
I mean, Owen, why did you boo? I forget your name already. I'm sorry. Okay, why did you boo him? Do you guys know each other?
We do.
Shit.
Wow.
Hi, Julia.
We didn't even get to Alan. And
Julia Allison, everyone. Julia Allison.
Woo!
ValleyWag.com/tag/Julia-Allison.
Julia, okay. No, seriously. I know. I'm dying to get... Hold on. Can everybody hear Julia? Can anyone not? Otherwise, I'm going to ask you.
I understand that people outside this room are going to know what this means before I am. I'm going to have to wait till afterwards and go look on the internet.
I don't know what it means.
No, we're going to tell. We're going to talk right now. So, Julia, why do you feel this way? That's awesome. Julia, come here. Come here. Do you want to come up? Awesome.
Yay! You can't have like the most legitimate gossip journalist in the place be.
Well, look at this.
I don't even know if that's
this is crowdsourcing. Can we have another chair? Julia, why don't you come sit on my lap, honey?
She's so much more than I ever anticipated.
Okay. Yeah, this is how I like to run my show. Okay. Our show.
Chair is good too.
This is just for the photograph. Yeah. Okay, so Julia, Star Magazine, I don't read it. It's like one of those things in the newspaper.
I don't read it either.
It's in a supermarket.
Here, take the mic. No,
I'm going with the flow of the conversation. Alan is like a big, exciting surprise we're going to get to in a moment.
Alan and I had a discussion about this earlier, actually. And I'm sorry. This is and Owen and I had a discussion about this as well. In
Let's
fact,
talk about what's relevant, right? Do we have another mic? Okay, we have one right here.
I know. It's cool. But here's the thing. I've worked for Star since June. I find it...
You're a reporter?
What do you do? Television commentary. So I go on and
Hold
I
on.
Talk
you
about...
You really don't even need a mic, do you?
Sorry. I project, you know? That's my job.
Okay.
Okay, so I go on and I talk about like Britney, Lindsay, Paris, all this bullshit, right?
But they're audio podcasting talking.
No one... should care about this shit. You know, like it's so fucked up. Excuse
but it's paying
me.
Your mortgage?
It is paying
Do you have a mortgage?
My rent.
Your rent?
No, I live in New York. I'm a journalist. I can't afford an apartment.
You're a journalist, but you don't report.
Quote unquote. Yeah. Jesus Christ, why'd I come up here? No, you're right. I started out as a columnist. And I, you know,
okay.
But you know, I transitioned into on-air commentary, which is basically a repetition of sound bites. No one knows what the fuck they're talking about on television, okay? They just never, never, never say, I don't know. Never. You're not allowed to say that. So if someone asks you a question that you don't know the answer to, you just have to say, my sources are telling me, you know, and then fill in like whatever the fuck. Is this, where are you filming this for?
Yeah, I'm going to get you to sign a release. Don't worry, after.
Anyway, my problem with, and I actually really like Owen as a person, but.
Well, let's get to, okay, you know what? I am feeling it's a little mean at a party. Let's talk to Alan for just one second.
Yes, please.
Alan Citron. First of all, let's make Alan feel like he hasn't been left out. All right. Woo. Alan. What do you tell people that you do? What's your, like, your public version of what you do? Can someone turn on Alan's mic?
Sure, I'll use it. I tell them I'm
Thank
the
you.
General manager of TMZ.
TMZ. Does anyone not know TMZ.com? Okay, explain to the couple people who are actually being productive all day.
TMZ is an online celebrity news site that has recently also become a television show. But the real signature thing about TMZ is real-time reporting on all the antics that celebrities get involved with.
That they get involved with. Okay, I'm just going to ask you also to bring the mic a little closer. So what's your role at TMZ?
General manager.
General manager. So you make business decisions?
Yes.
You do P&Ls?
Yes.
Okay, but you were originally a journalist?
Yes.
And now you used to do the real, like what Shiloh's doing.
I don't know what he's doing, but yeah.
Shiloh,
I
mean, the woman right here.
Or she's doing, I'm sorry.
It's okay, you just met.
No, I'll tell the story. I was at the LA Times for 13 years, and I was a sort of traditional journalist. Then I got into the internet around 95, so I've been away from journalism for a while. But I did practice it for a long time.
And you became the business guy. Like, usually most people do reporting, journalism, they're really into the news and important things that are happening. And how do you feel about not only making your living, but trying to figure out how to run a business that's about how we can know about, I don't know, what some people would call, you called it bullshit, Julie, I believe, bullshit.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Well, yeah, maybe. But you know, what happened was I was away from journalism for 10 or 12 years while I worked in a few internet jobs, and this job became available. And what I liked is that it reminded me of what I liked about journalism. Getting back to it, helping to create a news group, helping to decide what this thing was going to be, helping to figure out how to make it bigger. Even being the business guy, you get to participate in those decisions. So especially early on, it was just like being back, and that was the best part.
So is business good?
Very.
So why do you think it's so good?
You know, I really think, and I'm not a gossip person. I never read that stuff. I never paid attention to it. But I think there is this insatiable appetite that has been mentioned before. Whether it's bullshit or whether it's good for you or whether it's a convenient distraction from Iraq and other things that are so exhausting. I find that when I go to parties and when I say what I do and when I expect someone to say something sarcastic, they typically get drawn in more frequently and they want to know about someone. There's always that one person that someone is following, whether it's Brittany or Paris or the list goes on and on. And it's like that's their little mental vacation. You know, they want to know what that person's up to, and they get their dose of that, and then they're done. But it's out there, and it's everywhere.
Do you think it's growing? I mean, what do your numbers say? Like, how many page views do you guys get a day?
About 7 million. Yeah. When Heath Ledger died, and around that same time, Britney Spears was hospitalized for one of her episodes, according to Omniture, which is one of the measuring firms, we had 30 million visitors that month. So this is not a niche market. This is a lot of people, and it's worldwide. If you look at the stats, it's everywhere.
And how much do you guys gross a month?
That I can't tell you.
Net?
A lot, no.
A lot.
It's a big number.
How long did it take to become profitable?
A lot. 11 months.
11 months. That was it.
Yeah.
And you have a staff of?
Well, when we were just a website, it was about 25 people. Television requires a lot more people, so now it's about 115. But it was a very small group initially.
Yeah, and small, 30. So how many people work for on Valley Wag?
Three full-time, three contributors.
Can we get this mic turned on?
Oh.
Are you going to just keep training next week?
So Valley Wag is three full-time, three contributors, and... yeah, that's what it takes to do it. Actually, I'm hiring, so if you like gossip as much as I like gossip...
And how many page views do you get a month?
Let's see. Last month, we got 4.5 million page views, and I haven't tracked the visitors.
Well, that's pretty good on a per-person basis compared to what Alan's doing.
Sorry, Alan.
And here's... No, so... And do you think, Ev, that either of these organizations could possibly keep up with the crowd on Twitter?
I think it's all part of an ecosystem, if you will. I mean,
did you say ecosystem or ecosystem?
Ecosystem. Ecosystem, definitely.
Definitely an ecosystem. But Owen gets stuff from Twitter all the time, and vice versa, probably.
I mean, I don't have a Twitter.
Twitter. I'm leaving that one. So, okay. So, yeah, go. I want all of you guys to feel comfortable to ask questions of each other.
You're not interested in gossip and you don't pay any attention to it? Is that still true? Yeah.
No, I'm not.
You don't read it at all?
I read it now because that's what I do. But no, it doesn't interest me.
Alan, don't you find that most people, and like, I mean, I guess with the exception of Owen, like, I'm not interested in gossip. Like, Paris, Brittany, Lindsay, these are not interesting people to me.
But that's not.
Wait, do people really believe this? That he wasn't gossip. Interested at all?
That's not gossip. Okay, what's gossip?
It's gossip, I think, is the most interesting gossip is about people you know.
Amen.
And that's,
I think the most scariest people are the ones who claim not to be interested in gossip.
Well, no. Well, and celebrity gossip.
I would agree with you. I think what Owen taps into,
malevolent gossip, Owen's gossip.
We'll get there in a second. Ed, finish your idea. We'll get to the malevolent thing.
And looking
a bit.
At just the content, it's the niche, if you will, of Owen's topic is interesting, not at the TMZ level, but it's about Silicon Valley or those who participate in the industry. And that's more interesting to a lot of people who wouldn't read TMZ because they're not interested in the celebrity gossip because these people are closer to them.
Well, there's a certain amount of news to it as well that is sometimes relevant to the business that you do. Don't you find? I mean, I find that just following Jason Calcanis on Twitter, because I'm so amused. I don't know. I mean, he blogs every breath he takes. I mean, he Twitters everything he does. And he's so involved in deal flow, whether you care about his point of view or not, that it's like even faster than Valley. I just like listen to everything he's doing. It's like the fastest news of who's, I don't know if he can continue to do it and stay alive the way he's doing it.
I find it exhausting just to read it.
It's a lot. I don't know if he's breathing or sleeping or what, but I mean.
I think he's actually bulldog sourcing it. I think Torres and
Fonte. What does that mean?
So my theory is that Jason Calacanis's bulldogs, Taurus and Fondue, you may have seen them on Flickr, are actually Twittering for him because there's just not enough time in the day for him to send those many tweets.
Can I ask something, though? I know who he is, but I've never read his blog.
Twitters.
Why do people
I don't read his
care?
Blog.
Why
I only read it because I'm somewhat interested in what's going on in the internet scene, and he's so involved in it. Some of it's funny because he takes everything really seriously. Yeah. So for material, for me, it's kind of fun. But some of it's that, like, it's faster than reading even ValleyWag. It just comes to my own little page, and it's underneath everything else I can scroll through, so I can see what Owen's up to, then I can see what some other friends
like
are doing.
Is that like living two lives? Do you have enough capacity for that? Like,
well, I don't read everything he says, but...
But here's the difference, though. He's writing it. It's not someone else writing about him, perhaps untruthfully, perhaps using sources that
Well, people aren't necessarily truthful about themselves.
Well, I mean, that's a good point, I suppose. But at least I guess you're making a good point. But at least he's not going to... If he writes something about himself, he can't be like, God damn it, I hurt myself. Like, I really... You know, I mean, maybe he'll
okay,
say it to his friends.
It's definitely our moment to get to the malevolent hurtfulness.
Sorry.
I think. And I see your... And we'll come to
that's
you just...
problem with gossip.
Can we introduce the malevolence first and then... About malevolence? Okay, what's your name? Do you mind just so the podcast will pick you up? Sorry, I know it's unnatural to get up and walk to a mic. I hate that it's that way. Oh. Well, maybe you can get one of those things that George Bush, when he's a cheerleader, had, one of those big megaphone thingies.
Okay. Is it on?
Okay. No, okay.
So the question is for Owen. So Owen, did you pay Julia to come up to make people more sympathetic to ValleyWag?
Okay.
I did not.
Wait, how am I making people more sympathetic to ValleyWag?
Well, my second question is related to that. So what's the minimum level of fame that somebody has to have to be, say, pictured having a milkshake on ValleyWag?
Okay.
That's a really interesting question. And so, yes, for those of you who did not see the posting question, we did recently feature Julie Allison having a milkshake with Kevin Rose of Dig.
I think if you're either
did
a
Daniel Day-Lewis show up and drink her milkshake?
No.
I think that joke was made.
I didn't read it, but I'm sure it was the first post in. I couldn't resist. Sorry.
So my I would say CXO or above. But I think if you are a gossip journalist,
CXO meaning
like you know CEO, I think once you're at a level that you're sort of a public representative of your company, you should sort of expect to be, you know, covered
maligned.
And be prepared
for. Oh, so you're interested in.
But so what bothers me is like when there's like a mid-level like product manager or something like that who's, you know, maybe with a girl at a conference and nobody's ever heard of them, but they appear on Valleywag and it's like, well, what, why? You know?
Okay, so you're interested in when is somebody, I just want to make sure I understand the question. Is the point really when is someone fair game to be snarked
exactly.
at in public?
That's my question.
Okay.
Okay, let me ask a question of the audience. How many people can say, the only people they care about are the chief something officer of a company? Okay, thank you. There's your answer, sir. People care about people who are not necessarily CEOs.
Sure.
And your point is that you think it's kind of unfair that someone might make fun of them in public.
Yeah, anybody who's out in public basically at any time is...
We've really changed. I mean, the internet has changed the nature of publicity, the nature of who is a public figure. People are choosing much more actively to make themselves public figures and enjoying the benefits, you know, thereof. And the downsides. Julia will...
What benefits?
Okay.
Can we establish this? Because I want to know, were you guys drinking this milkshake naked?
No.
What was the...
No.
That doesn't sound that malevolent to me.
But there was a cherry involved.
Oh, yeah, there was a story. No, it was just a milkshake.
Was there mean words to go along with
that? No, it's just the problem. The problem with is with irresponsible.
Okay, let's give
blogging.
The give the context to Shyla because she does not follow this. Your beat is like real disasters, not the internet.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Thank you.
That's so I believe, if I'm recalling correctly, and I only did this to research because I don't usually follow this, that Julia, you dated someone where there's a lot of attention towards this. And so thus, people are now interested in dating
I thought
Is that it? Am I right about the general context? So Shyla understands why someone would want to, okay, read the post.
Yeah. I'm what she said. You know what? Just don't put your relationships online. I think that's a great lesson to learn. I learned it. I learned my lesson. Okay, thank you. But
I live to serve.
How can it be a community if you don't put your relationships online?
Well, the problem, this is obviously not the topic, but you know, the problem is when you put your relationships online, people feel that they can comment on them. They feel that they also are part of your relationship when they are in fact not. And in my attempt to be open, and it was with the best of intentions, what ended up happening was that it was sort of a mob mentality, and it got nasty and scary, quite honestly.
What was scary? So let's get to the core point you wanted to make when we brought you up, which is that
it's irresponsible.
What is malevolent? What is hurtful? How are you hurt? What has happened
for you?
This is
the thing, and this is what
I'm interested in your experience, not like your thoughts about the trend. Like seriously, what happened to you?
I don't mean to be prurient, but I need more detail.
Okay,
so
all right.
This is the board of four journalists.
This happens to a lot of women in technology, but women everywhere as well. When you're put up there as a one-dimensional caricature, right? And I tend to joke around a lot, and sometimes I've joked about like, oh, I like tech boys, like. Big mistake, because people won't understand that you're joking. And as a result, I've been called, a slut, a gold digger. I have STDs, apparently. I don't know, you know, how people know. Like, what?
But it's really, so when people post stuff, it hurts your feelings? I'm serious.
That makes it sound stupid, but quite honestly.
No, why does it mean, am I trying to find out how you feel?
Yeah, actually.
Why, if you cry, is that stupid?
Valleywag made me cry on Thursday. They made me fucking cry. You know, I know. Like, who has sympathy for me? No one, but... Sorry?
Hold on, wait. We are one at a time. What's your name? Wait, no. I'm asking the lady over here first.
My point...
No, we asked... What's your question?
Kevin Rose.
No, I didn't know. No. That's... No. Let's not talk about that. That's not the relationship I was public about. I dated for the founder of Vimeo for a while. That was like the mistake I made blogging publicly about it. It was a mistake, okay? That having been said, and he's going to say something about Star and how I'm a hypocrite.
I don't know what he's going to say. What's your name and what do you want to say?
My name is Jason. I work on Twitter.
No, I'm interested in the notion of what gossip philosophically is, not like now Twitter and Star Magazine. Who knows? But like, I might find out what's happening to you through Twitter, probably quicker than I would through something else.
But you know, it seems like people who work on gossip don't really like gossip. But I mean, isn't what gossip did like you know cause Brittany to go crazy and cause Mariah Carey to run down the street?
Well, yeah, and that's why I want to get the fuck out of it.
Can I answer? Okay. Let me answer that one though.
Okay.
Brittany was crazy before. I mean, that was the no one
had
to.
It didn't help though. I mean, it didn't help.
But let me. I just wanted to make a bigger point, if I could. You know. One reason I think this was so disorienting for Julia and for others who are suddenly thrust into the spotlight is that the nature of gossip has changed. It used to be that you had to be a celebrity, and there was a definition around what a celebrity was, a movie star, a sports star, sometimes a politician. What's happened is that, especially with the internet, but also with cable news, more and more layers of people qualify as celebrities. I mean, as an example, the person who gets disqualified in the third round of American Idol is now a celebrity. Is that right? Probably not, but there are people who want to know about those people. So what's happening is more and more of us are being sucked into this celebrity thing, and we're not ready for it.
Okay, right here, gentleman with the hat. What's the Grove?
In L.A.
What's in the webcam? I don't understand. Like, just you can spy on your daughter while she shops at the mall?
No, it's just a live cam. It's just an experiment to see what we see. It's not intended to...
It's a terrible
I don't think they have any business peering into famous people's lives either.
Famous people collude. I mean, you have to. It's an industry that they're totally in cahoots with. I mean, it's trade between the gossip, like the traditional gossip.
But you know what? The big difference is that at the New York Times, you have fact checkers, you have editors. There are people to. I know. Shit, the truth comes out. No, and the difference is that I mean, Owen presses the send key or what? I don't. What
Everyone
key,
presses enter. That key.
No, but at the New York Times, she has someone over her making sure that whatever she writes, she's not the only one responsible for it. And the problem is that they have.
Okay, Shyla.
No, I'm not saying that's not true, but I mean, you have to look in the take a meta view of that. Somebody somewhere is deciding how to read, say, a political cue. And decide what it means.
Give an example of a political cue.
Like
the Howard Dean screaming. That's not subtle enough.
Okay, Obama. Yeah, Obama saying Obama not attacking Hillary, and you know the Times at some level might latch onto the idea. Well, okay, it's time for him to attack. He's weak. He needs to attack, and that will permeate the news coverage of that moment. So it's not.
I'm talking about like patently false information that's being disseminated.
Well, it's still like a deductive reasoning. Like if someone's still inferring and implying what the meaning of something, yeah. I guess Shiloh's saying, well, then that's also not something that we know for sure. I'm trying to understand something. Are you you wrote a column? Do you consider yourself a reporter or you're a commentator or a pundit or a humorist? Or
I don't know. I guess
how do you view what you? What are you interested in doing in the world? What is it that you do?
My God, you're my mom? Like what? Dad? Wait,
I want to ask a different question. I'm sorry.
Oh,
can I get the answer? And then we're very interested in you now, Julie.
Okay. I mean, I think that it being a part of this has sort of opened my eyes into how destructive it can be. And I'm not gonna lie. I have a huge problem with what I do. You know, I have and I as a result. I try not to be judgmental about people who I haven't met and who I read about on the internet, and I realize that it's only one-dimensional, that I don't necessarily know them. And I think that's the...
I have a really important question for you.
Yeah.
When you were in high school, who would you eat lunch with?
I was a debater.
Really?
And I was... And I was a really... I mean... I was a geek.
Like, you were a geek?
Yeah, of course.
You sound surprised. Like, how could such a pretty woman be a geek?
No, I'm not at all surprised. It's not about that.
Apparently also, like, yeah. Right.
No, it just, I found from my experience, I was...
Why, who did you think I sat with? The cheerleaders?
No, I have no idea. I'm just telling you, from my experience, I was very pilloried outwardly. growing up. And because I was talked about and yelled at so often and made fun of so often, so young, I guess I found, at least in my way of dealing with it was to make jokes. And also, nothing now to me as an adult that's said really bothers me in the same way. That's why I'm more interested. Like, well, did you have experience younger with it and how
was
it impacted
I tortured
you?
As a child? Yes. No, I mean, I think everyone was tortured in their adolescence, right? Okay, maybe not.
Well, I mean, some people disappear, right? Everyone doesn't have that experience of being talked about in a life where, I mean, life is gossip when you're 13.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
You have no idea how cruel internet commenters can be. And you know what? Actually, it would be fine. It would actually be fine. I can take it as long as it doesn't start to involve people in my life.
Okay.
And that's
Shiloh's,
that's where it comes in.
Okay. But is it, I just want to know. So did somebody say that you were dating someone that you actually weren't dating?
Oh, all the time they say
okay,
that.
Okay, so if that's what you mean, like patently false, you don't mean mean.
Mean.
In addition to being patently
false. But mean
false.
I think we have an innocuous word. It's hateful.
We have a gesturing questioner.
Sorry.
What's your name?
Brenda Thompson.
Unfortunately, I missed it. Randy, are you here? Where's Randy? Randy promised me she would be here.
It was really awkward.
I mean, I will tell you that gossip-wise, Randy was invited to be in the... She was the second person I invited to be in this discussion, and she really wanted to, and she's awesome and funny. We're going to do a video. And then the PR people at Facebook wouldn't let her do this. She told me she'd be here. So what happened? Why don't you were here? Can you tell us? Can you get up and talk so we can all hear you through the thing, Brenda, real quick? Give us like a 2-second mic. Get to the mic. We can't hear you.
Put the laptop down.
She's reading the story. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
Into the mic, Valleywag. Like this.
Go to valleywag.com. This is the lead story.
Okay, Brenda, tell us. We're not reading it.
What have my writers been up to now?
Most people were there, I think. This was the
Brenda, please tell me what happened.
Today. This was the keynote interview. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, was interviewed by Sarah Lacey, who twirled her hair and kind of flirted with him and didn't really ask questions, but every question that she did ask went up like this.
That's honestly, you're being really sexist right now. You're being really sexist.
Okay, so what?
Sarah is a very intelligent, they were mismatched communicators.
I want to hear what Brenda's saying. So, Brenda.
I'm not
Julia, just hold on a sec. Brenda, hold on. One at a time. Brenda, what is the story that people are reporting?
This is the story, is that there was an audience revolt.
People no way. People what happened? That sounds awesome.
Well, I mean, the questions were so bad that the audience started yelling out questions, and Mark Zuckerberg asked the interviewer, is this a question? Are you going to ask me a question? It was an embarrassing.
And what were the audience asking? What do people want to know about Facebook?
How it affected them.
What's your name? No, you are awesome.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. But I was just
you have to tell me if you don't. That way I can't talk to you again. I want to hear your name. Lauren, okay. So you did an awesome job of encapsulating, like, that's to me an issue with not just journalism, but talk shows, which is what I'm trying to have it not be all about the questioner. It came across as her not really being journalistic.
Get up here.
Okay. I'm getting great reporting. Okay, so this is a great example. And if you were Twittering this would be, Shiloh, how I'm getting my news. Like, I would read her Twitter. But the audience, that was cool.
People were Twittering it.
So what can we make this
more of a
meta discussion?
Let's
not make it the whole thing about.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Sorry, I let myself get sucked into it. Okay, Lauren, thanks. Okay.
It was mismatched communication stuff.
So we have a moment where basically people are saying this isn't serving the information we want to have, and they kind of took into their own hands and said, we're going to try and find out in our own way what we want to find, if we can find it out. Okay.
But from a gossip perspective, hey, Justin, why is this interesting? Why are we talking about this right now?
Because we're fascinated with you, Ev.
Well,
we're fascinated with you.
Zuckerberg.
We're fascinated with Twitter and everything you have done to us. The way you have warped our minds.
I don't think you're being sincere.
Well, I think...
No, I'm totally serious. I just don't do sincere very well. It just doesn't come out.
That was beautiful. Okay. No, I think it's kind of... Aren't we interested... Maybe we're interested for the reason this conversation's happening, people talk about stuff.
But we wouldn't be talking about it if there's an awesome interview with Mark Zuckerberg this afternoon, right?
It's because you're talking about looking for what went wrong. That's a great point, Ev. Yeah.
And Mark Zuckerberg said X, Y, Z about Facebook this afternoon.
So are you saying that basically everyone's waiting for something to criticize?
Well, I don't like to have such a pessimistic view, but if you look at celebrity gossip and a lot of the Valleywag topics, maybe that's a core theme here we should explore.
A lot of negativity.
It's got a name. It's called the banana peel moment.
What is a banana peel moment, Alan?
When someone does something embarrassing.
Well, but the thing of embarrassing is if you own anything, it's not as embarrassing.
But are we talking about the keynote because are we talking about the keynote because it was a bad interview or because we all Twittered about it after the fact?
No, it's a bit. I'm Robert Scoble, and every conversation I've had.
You don't have to introduce yourself. Lime green shirt, everyone.
I walked into the blog house, and everybody was talking about the interview. I walked in the hallway. Everybody's been talking about the interview. Everybody I've had a conversation with since that interview has had something to say.
So, Robert, why do people care about it?
Because it was Mark Zuckerberg. It was Facebook, and it was an interview that went badly for Sarah Lacey. And I'm sorry for piling on her bad day. She had a bad day. And when you have a bad day, and I've had a few, and Valleywag's had their guns aimed at me too, it's tough, right? But I don't want to add on to it further. You know, she's having a bad day. Give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
she'll come back.
Why don't most more people take your perspective?
Here's the thing, Julia.
Because most people haven't been on Valleywag 25 times. You know, so
you underestimate.
Mean about it?
Well, you've been on.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily have done the sweating through his shirt anecdote. Okay, yeah. I wouldn't have done that if I had been.
That was kind
someone
of
someone talked about sweating in a conversation.
She said,
let's get back to the reason we're having the panel rather than prurently.
No, 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 no,
let's
no.
save
Heather,
that for the Twitters.
Heather, you know, Mark Zuckerberg in a sweat-soaked white T-shirt.
Yeah.
Ooh. I have to let you have your moment of heartbeat. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. This. What's your name here with the arm? Thanks, Robert. What? Monica? You're going to have to project really loud if you're not going to walk to the mic, unfortunately, in this room. Okay, well, now we're waiting for you, unfortunately. Okay. So, Ev, you're saying you think that it's just too, that we're only looking for negativity. Part of what interested me in inviting you to do this is, to me, I'm interested in gossip. Is there a difference between gossip and news? Is gossip a word we use to sort of judge it as not really worthy news? Because sometimes just knowing, hey, I'm going out, the kind of things I'm asked on Twitter are, like, I grew up in a really small town, like you did, in a really small community, and that was like what held everything together, was knowing about each other and what was going on. So to me, I'm almost wondering if it means like traditional journalism isn't the same thing if we can communicate with each other about what we want to know.
Gossip is a way of enforcing societal norms. So saying it's a way that we tell each other what is bad behavior that we'll accept, behavior that we won't. It's how we say, you know, Brittany's a bad mother, and this is what constitutes a bad mother. It's how we tell each other how to act. And it's easy to judge other people.
You're saying it's like a social enforcement mechanism.
Absolutely.
And Ev, what do you think in terms of is there a difference between gossip and news or socially how it functions for us?
I don't think there's a clear line. I think we use tools to do what we've always done. And that has uncomfortable effects sometimes because people see it. We can't control every conversation and every interaction we have with someone because we put it out there on the web and it's sucked up. Or in the case of celebrity gossip, it wouldn't have qualified as news because there were a limited number of news outlets, and there were rules, and there were they took it very seriously. And now there's unlimited news outlets, so it's news of a sort. But whether or not it qualifies as news, I think in a lot of people's minds means, does it have journalistic integrity, or is it important? And those are no longer factors about whether or not it's available to millions of people.
So imagine this whole, like, a universe outside South by Southwest Interactive. Like, how, you know, is there, I'm like sitting here thinking, is there a way I could write a story about what happened today that would matter to more than this community, people outside this community, and why would it?
Well, you could talk about how technology has given people, average people, normal people, lots of people, the ability to disseminate gossip in a way that just didn't exist 10 years ago.
But we know that already, right?
No, but I don't think that people are thinking about the consequences. And that's something that I would have loved to hear about in terms of Mark and Facebook. You know, the fact that Facebook is a way for a lot of people to gossip, to be honest, and also to, like, hook up. But
and if I did,
you know,
that,
he talked about communicating, but it's, but quite honestly, Facebook is a tool for gossip. And it can be used in, I'm not saying gossip is always bad, but it can be used in ways that are quite harmful.
Well, it's a tool for a lot of things, right? It's a tool for calendaring. It's a tool for letting people know what your party is.
Why do you use Facebook? Like, mainly for the calendar.
I don't know. I mean, what I mean is that there are, like, about as million reasons for spreading information as there are people in the world.
But my point is, it's in terms of what you could write, you know, the difference.
But then would it become news if I figured out a way to write about it?
Yes, in the New York Times, it would be news.
Switches over to another category.
No, I mean, news. I think you have, you know,
I'm smart enough when I write about it, then it becomes news.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. It's sort of a value judgment of how we talk.
True.
Okay,
really.
You have
a brand name behind you.
Hold on a sec. Well,
I made my way to the microphone.
You walked all the way to the mic, so.
Yep.
Thanks.
I'm an entertainment journalist, so I'm in doing the same thing as Alice, Julia does. And I think we've always had gossip, like we've always had gossip in like our small communities, but now that we don't live in these little local neighborhoods, especially people who live in the cities, we love celebrity because it's like the people that we can all share, like, and talk about in common. And now the internet has like helped us create these little micro subcultures like South by Southwest. And it's the same. We like to talk about people that we all know. It's like a way of us kind of connecting with people because we might not actually live in like the little communities that we used to. And the other reason why I think that today everyone is talking about this interview is people like to talk about bad things. They like to look at, like, they like to talk about train wrecks and things that people want to make fun of each other. Like, that's, I don't know, that's just inherently more enjoyable than being nice and pleasant and polite. So I'm sorry, Julie, that's why.
You know, I actually think that's because we're fundamentally optimistic. So when bad things happen, that messes with our Weltanschauung, and we have to tell people about
what? What does that mean? That was cool.
That's German for worldview.
Wow. You went to college.
I just had to throw it out there. Weltanschauung, people. You heard it here first.
Okay, everyone, I would love to acknowledge hands wherever you are, but the reality of this room is you have to go to the mic because we won't hear you otherwise. So I love that your hands are up, but you got to go to the mic. What's your...
Hi, Michael Tan with Wink. You know, I think what gets at the heart of sort of what gossip is when people share context. People want to be part of the conversation. And, you know, in the old online world, it happens a lot faster than it did offline. And I think maybe the degree to which people feel part of the conversation is how they let their guard down and they start to feel like they're in an inside crowd. So I think in a blog comment, people get very, very personal, or, you know, they express themselves in a way that they might not to an unknown crowd because they feel like they're sort of part of the conversation. I think Twitter does that to some extent, is that you feel like you're part of a conversation. I'm just wondering maybe if you could comment on how much do you think sort of these online tools sort of accelerate that sense of comfort and maybe people going beyond boundaries they would have.
Yeah, what do you think, Ev? I'm interested in what you think about that.
I don't know. I was thinking about something else.
Sorry.
What were you thinking about?
No, I have... I'm
not going to figure your question.
What are you doing?
I want to get back to that. I have a question for you guys, because I have been the subject of some coverage in Ballywag and the New York Times, and I've learned over the years that basically the accuracy level is not that much different between them.
Thank you.
In my case. And I've been fortunate that Owen's been nice so far. And
she's so innocent. Mostly.
But here's my point.
Thanks.
The question is, so you learn after a while that media is usually really inaccurate whenever you're reading something about something you know a lot about. If you're reading about something you don't know a lot about, you assume it's accurate. Right. And I wonder.
That's an awesome insight.
That was really good.
I don't know what just happened. Are we supposed to?
So,
but the highest compliment I can get as a journal. I mean, the highest compliment I feel I get is when somebody who knows the subject that I wrote about well thinks that I conveyed it accurately.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. So here's the question: if the bar lowers,
Shiloh, that's
it
wonderful.
Be done.
It can be.
Okay,
it happens.
The question is:
as the bar lowers, of who's covered in media? I mean, I think one of the effects will people just learn to distrust all media across the board, and therefore maybe A, it's not as hurtful, and B, everything's more critically looked at.
That's a really good
question. I mean, part of what I think in terms of looking at all the blog is someone who does, I do solo performance art where I say very revealing things about myself all the time. It's something I do quite often. And my experience is the more open you are, like Karen Finley is not gossiped about, even though she did outrageous things. She put yams up her butt. She did all kinds of things in her performance art. But because she's the first person to tell you, she'll write about it. She can't wait for you to know.
She introduces herself. She's like, by the way,
I think that's why no one cares about Karen.
The other day.
Okay. All I'm saying is, other reasons why people don't care about Karen
is Finley. If there were a story about you, but then you'd already blogged your details.
Ass, let me tell you, what would write about?
Wouldn't people rather go to your blog and read right from your own mind, like your own experience, as opposed to how someone else reported on it?
In theory, I mean, that's a good defense of people not calling you a schmuck is calling yourself a schmuck first, which I've tried to use lots.
It's a good day when a boy from Nebraska.
Service
uses
journalism.
The word schmuck. Thanks. That's awesome.
But I think this is a really good question. You're asking, are people, as they understand that journalism can be inaccurate, especially blogging, although you were saying the New York Times too, but go back to your bosses and tell them that he's saying that because they wouldn't like that.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I do think when people
Julia?
See printed journalism, they think accurate.
I think we're talking about notions of authority and how we assume we're going to listen to, I'm sorry, I forget your name,
Michael.
From Michael's point about whether, you know, it's kind of accelerating in front of different boundaries. You know, a boundary of propriety also has to do with people's notions of how they're maintaining their authority. I mean, I live part of the time in Long Island, and my sense there is no one in the town I live in has used Craigslist. They've never heard of Twitter, all that kind of stuff. But if it comes in the New York Times, it's like, you know, minted on golden plates from God. And a lot of that has to do with their own vision of themselves and what they think matters. And they don't get, if everyone in that town under 18 doesn't read the New York Times, doesn't care, and just text That's each other.
What blog is that on?
What
the fuck did they get up already?
Hey,
Owen?
No.
Owen!
I have minions everywhere.
Owen's like using telepathy. He's like posting.
What? If they want us to stop the panel, is that what that is? It's a technology panel. Okay, we have... thanks, Mark. Neil?
I'm kind of surprised there's so much talk about they and what people do. And, you know, we do this. We
Absolutely.
Make these tools. We say these things.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, like we've all been on both sides of it. Like, I've had death threats come into me from my blog. I have also had, like, great things happen. And all of it gets reported as if I'm not a person. And I do it. I talk about other people who do it. Like, until...
Send death threats? To people?
No.
Okay. Let
less,
finish,
less than I used to. But and
there was that one time.
And no, and I mean, I honestly, like, until I walked in here, if you'd have said, what do I think of Julia Allison? I'd be like, I can't fucking stand her. We've never met.
I know.
Right? And I do it. I know I do it. And what's amazing is the whole conversation is about what those people do on Long Island and what those people do over here. And we build the tools. Like, Ev, it's our fucking fault, man.
And it works at Six Apart.
Yeah,
Julia,
like,
that's
like,
so cool. Everybody knows who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little world.
In this world, everybody in this room knows who you are.
But, and Neil, the point I was trying to make in Long Island is not that I'm not a person who lives there, I do. It's that notions of authority are generationally changing, I think. And it doesn't mean that anyone's notion of authority is better than anyone else's. They're contextual.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I just have to push back so strongly on this sense that, how does other people do this?
Oh, I fully
thing.
Yes, I fully agree. I mean, that's the thing. If we are the media, then we are now reporting on ourselves. and we've been empowered to tell everybody what we want, but we're going to be talked about.
But don't you think that the answer to that is being very conscientious when you read a story that you might not be seeing the whole thing, which is why I have such sympathy for Sarah Lacey and what happened, because
I've never torn into you on my blog for that reason. Sorry? My impression of you was that this is the vapid, unpleasant part of the business that I'm in. That's honest to God. Yeah, and I now the thing is, I love journalism and I love celebrity, and you've probably been a part of stories that I thought, oh, that's really titillating and fun, and I didn't know that about that celebrity, right? So there's a function that you have done that's doing your job well. But my impression of you from secondhand, third hand, tenth hand is very different. And I think that's the thing that, like, you know, I apologize for that to you, but that's the truth. And I think that's the thing that's really interesting is there's not anybody saying, Owen does that. I don't do that. I'm a nice guy. Right. And it's not true. Like, we are all the thing that we're saying is a problem.
Julia, you don't have your defenders. Can you have defenders on the?
Can we pick up from what Neil's saying, which is to be meaningfully present as people with each other and to get to know each other sort of makes a big difference in how we treat each other as people. And if
surely
we want a
we
world
all know
that's,
that, like, surely, I mean, this is like basic humanness.
No, context. Like, people don't have context when they're reading these stories. They don't know the people. Look at my Facebook pictures. I mean, you'll get a better picture.
Alan, do you feel badly at all? Or do the people the writers who work with you feel like they're hurting other people's lives? Although in that case, you could say, well, they make their career out of becoming known. But if someone's having, I mean, to me, like, I don't know Britney Spears, but like, I mean, incest survivor just all over her face to me, or something bad. I don't think you become, like, life becomes difficult if something bad didn't happen. So do you feel like you're just kind of piling on and making a living off of somebody else's? Or is there a way to say more about them so they're more of a person? Or
are you a misery profiteer?
You know, I don't want to be accusational like that. That's your job. You're good at that. I know.
When I was a reporter, I felt bad about writing bad things about people, even if they had done bad things. I just think that's a human instinct. And some people out there are pretty bad. I think with celebrity, we get a little, what's the word? Inured? Thank you. Inured to the... because it's every day and it's every hour of every day something's happening. And I think there is a slight tendency to forget that they're people. Definitely.
Well, and to me, part of what I would love to see, Neil, is, I mean, maybe people this to some degree with their pages, is to humanize yourself as much as possible, to share more of yourself. Like, that's why when you were saying, Julia, you were hurt. No, I mean, I think it's important if it really hurts you to share that. How can anyone
like,
hurt
oh,
you?
Cry. Whatever.
Okay.
It's not. Hi, I work for a media watchdog group, and we monitor the media for conservative misinformation, mediamatters.org.
Yeah, Media Matters. I love Media Matters, for me.
And one of the things I have to say, though, is gossip can be good. Because in cases like with Don Imus or with Bill O'Reilly, they'll say something, and a small collective, like the liberal blogosphere, will pick it up and they'll run with it. But a lot of times, it doesn't get much further than that, unless there is a lot of interest with other parties. And gossip for that can be really good, because when someone says something really, really awful, terrible, and you want people just to know about it and to be able to take action through that, gossip can be really good. I just want to say gossip can be good.
Thank you. No, honestly, thank you.
Shelly, when you were covering Hurricane Katrina, did you find there were like little ecosystems of information between people that was helping them get people get resources?
Of course,
they
but wanted? That's nothing. I mean,
that's not gossip.
That's not new.
No, I'm just interested in ways you've seen it be maybe good.
And Katrina was interesting in that respect because a lot of the evacuees had no technological capabilities, especially right after the storm. But there was a lot of invention, and there was a lot of talking. But I don't know that you can privilege, like you said, you know, when you meet someone face to face. I mean, I feel like you don't really want to privilege that kind of interaction above any others, as far as I have an excuse to have a snap judgment about someone until I actually manage to meet them face to face. I mean, we can do better than that, I think.
Huh? I'm not sure. So you're saying you think it's good to live that way, or it's not, or?
I'm saying, it's possible to sort of suspend your judgment and have an open mind about someone, even if you haven't met them face to face. That's not the only way to establish a charitable view towards another human being, right?
Quick question for you. Alan, you're probably 80-90% in your female readership, or what are your numbers?
No, No, that's surprising. It's almost evenly male-female.
Interesting. Okay. Because we work with PerezHilton.com, and he's something like 90% female readership. And that's also true of People magazine. So I just wanted to get the panel's views.
What do you do?
Perez Hilton, we do his website. And
oh, you run his website. You're a web developer.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the women on the panel have kind of dominated the conversation. And
that's because I've let them, and I'm a woman, and I'm running the panel.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
Because the rest of South by Southwest is not so female heavy.
That's great. No, it's amazing that half the people here are women, and at South by Southwest, it's about 10%. So just your perspectives on, is there a sex skew to gossip? Do men gossip about different stuff, you know, technology versus Brittany?
I think it's about, I mean, I'll go ahead. Like I said, grew up in a really small town in a small Jewish community of about 50 people in a small town, and the women in that community really held it together. And I think our social connection, what we've traditionally called feminine, this sort of let's talk about what we're feeling, what's going on, and who got married and what happened, that's how social culture holds itself together. And if anything, I think it's now become, because it's in technology, it's less feminine. Well, but basically, it's a human instinct to know each other.
Yeah, I think men are, you know, huge gossips. It's just the old way of gossiping, where you actually had to walk up to someone and talk to them, look them in the eye. You know, I think men find that whole process, like, just too scary to fathom. But hey, you know, if you can gossip to everyone at once with a text message, you know, that's okay. And so, you know, basically technology, Ev in particular, has brought gossip to men. Thank you. Thank you, Ev.
Maybe it's because in my small town, it was the men who would go and sit and drink coffee for 3 hours in the morning at the quick shop. I'm from Nebraska, from the farm.
No, I mean, I think that's sort of, and that's often some of the most, like, beloved time in places that you get to know what's going on in the corner where everyone hangs out at the barbershop.
Can I ask Owen a question? Owen, do you find it harder to write meaner things about people after you've met them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, that's a human reality.
Go buy Owen a drink later.
No, but...
It doesn't work. I tried it.
Actually, what makes it harder is that I have to think about, am I approaching this like I would any other story? That's what makes it harder, not the writing
itself.
But
you overcome your desire to not...
But see, I keep telling Owen he needs to think of people as human beings, like the Jimmy Wales bullshit for the last week.
Okay, let's not go into each individual item because we can talk about that in our blogs later.
There's this headline on ValleyWag right now that says, Julie Allison crashes South by Southwest.
See?
Explains it all. Is that what it is? And I'm like looking at thinking, that's actually not what happened. She didn't crash this. We made her come up here.
Ask him what the word canoodling means. Apparently it means to persuade.
I mean, the video will be, and later people will watch. I invited her up. I didn't even know who she was.
That's pretty slutty, Owen. I mean, that's pretty cheap to say she crashes South by Southwest.
I'll own it. It's on Ballywag.
So?
Yeah, but I mean,
this happens all the time.
That characterization of what happened is pretty cheap, I'm saying.
Let me get this straight. You're calling Ballywag slutty and cheap. Thank you.
He likes
everyone
that.
Here's the
problem. And it's fine. It's like we can all laugh, but like then, you know, that's my life there.
But you know, then again, to be fair, I can make jokes about being slutty and cheap because I'm a guy, and on a guy it's funny. You know,
but for women, gossip hurts women far more than I would say that gossip hurts women far more than it hurts men. I think women are called slutty, they're called hoes, they're called bimbos, and they're not necessarily any of these things, you know? And I think for a guy,
I don't think we have time for the hour and a half long, like, gender and misogyny and representation of our bodies, and that's a long one. I'll have to blog about that one, but I agree. That's the, like, end of the conversation. What's your name and what you want to say?
Sorry, my name's Deirdre Malloy. I'm from Chinwag in London. I've got a question because this is something I've been thinking about a lot. With all this kind of the instant gossip and the kind of democratization of gossip, so everybody's gossiping about each other in public and it's going to be there for years somewhere cached on Google or whatever. But when famous people are being covered, whether it's by, you know, Star or whoever, they have got PRs, they've got managers, they've got flacks. who will give them feedback on that, and they can sometimes try to turn it to their advantage. They'll be protected.
Flack is a colloquial term for PR person.
Yeah, sorry. Whereas me and you, we don't have handlers, minders, PR people. So what you need to think about is identity management and how you handle yourself and your reputation. And if everything is not going to become transparent, it really annoys me when people say that, because people still want parts of their lives to themselves. And, you know, they might share it just with a couple of people and not everyone else. So what, I don't really have a question as such, but I just thought, what do you think about the idea that we all need, you know, to help each other out and give each other more advice on this? Because there's a really good video I saw last week on YouTube, how to behave in an internet chat room, and it's quite dated and stuff. But, you know, it's got that kind of thing. Yeah, how do you behave in this community where anybody can just participate? So how should we handle ourselves to protect ourselves from the malevolent gossip and the useless gossip?
Well, can I just say, Julia, you should answer. Okay, so last night I was out and I met Pete Cashmore for the first time, the founder of Mashable, which is a blog. I never met him, and Brian Solis was taking a picture of us, and he looked quite uncomfortable, and I said, you know, Brian, you can't post this picture, because next thing I'll be, you know, dating Pete Cashmore, who I have just met, okay? And Pete said, Julia, you need to get a PR person. And I said, that's great, but I don't have the money to do that. And so we're Valleywag and other gossip blogs, because there are other ones, are dealing with people who don't have the resources to hire a team of press agents to handle this bullshit. And that's why it's so unfair.
Hold on. I'm going to steal from it. Are we out of time? Okay. One more question. Hold on.
One more? Because I kind of want to defend Julia, especially since I've written a lot about her.
Okay, this is Nick Douglas from Valleywag.
Nick Douglas from Gawker now.
Gawker.
And
he left
that's
me.
Why
I'm not bitter.
That's why I'm going to kind of tell Owen that I think you write too much, and I think Gawker does as well. And that's why I've told Julia, though, to stop blogging, and she told me she would.
And I fucking stopped.
And then you posted another thing saying you overreacted.
I just thought people wouldn't think I was suicidal or something.
What Julia is trying to learn is that she has posted everything she could about her life to try to correct every story. And Gawker does not let up. We just turn it into another story because we want to pull it into the machine that makes us money and makes us feel good because we're better than Julia. We're not going to stop.
That's in quotes.
Julia has really tried a lot. What she hasn't tried is not to talk about herself anymore. But
I'm trying.
Wow. Wait.
Wow. Oh my
God! It's really hard to do.
Spontaneous applause.
It's hard to do. The instinct to talk about yourself constantly.
I don't have a Twitter. I do not have a Twitter. Okay.
It's okay. Poor Julia. Dang.
I mean,
welcome to my life.
Yeah, everyone kind of tries to play around the argument that you can flood the market with positive information, and therefore the gossip won't take hold. I'm sorry, but she's never going to be able to get to as many readers as Gawker
does.
Right.
No, what you're saying is someone will always misrepresent you, and that's something you have to live with. I mean, the thing is, you can live in a family of five people, and all the other four can all think something about you that you don't think, and you have to live with that, and they affect your life a lot more than Gawker. I mean, that's just part of life. Ugh. I really love both these people who want to ask questions. Can we hold the room for another two questions? Do we have someone else walking in here? Okay, Lane Becker. Satisfaction.
Hey, everybody. I'm sorry. This has been the best South by Southwest panel I've ever been in.
Aww. Thank you. Valleywag, can you write that? Thanks.
They won't write that.
This is for Julia, because I've been sitting in the front row and feeling for you most of this time because your pain is palpable. And all I wanted to say is I was in Heather and Maggie's panel earlier today, and there was a quote that came up that they've both told me before and I really enjoy, so I wanted to share it with you, which is this: climb to the heavens on the backs of your enemies' corpses.
That requires killing them, right?
This stuff is going to work out really well for you in the long term. It's going to work out really well for Sarah in the long term. The truth is that part of success is being willing to be a public persona. You know, my joke to my employees is always that the trick to succeeding in any industry is recognizing that any industry is 12 people. And you have to meet and impress those 12 people. Now, if you're smart, you pick an industry like this one, where part of impressing them means actually being talented. And I think that is a really important part of it. But recognizing that the public aspect of the performative aspect of succeeding in an industry is just part of what comes with the game. And that means that there are all these different aspects to it that we have to deal with, like gossip rags. I actually think that ValueAg, as gossip rags go, is a pretty good one. They treat people pretty well, and they care about the community, as I think Nick just demonstrated. Nick, who once posted a picture of me in a bathtub in my underwear with four women, who were also in their underwear, which, by the way, I don't think I've ever thanked him for doing. I just think, you know, it just goes with the territory, and, you know.
See, gossip is never bad for guys. It just makes you look like a pimp.
One of the women was my wife, who was
super pimp.
Who was standing? She's right there. She was standing up in her underwear. She was swigging back champagne from a bottle.
I saw that picture.
Everybody's seen that picture. I should point out that the sixth person in the bathtub was Jason Fried. So make of that what you will. Now I'm just talking about myself, so I'm going to sit down.
All right.
Lane Becker, everyone. Lane Becker.
Lane Becker and the champagne. I mean, I think I would like to keep, when this is, we're done with the room, just to let all of you know, I'm trying not to self-promote, so please, I'm trying to only say this if you're interested. Don't go if you're not interested. I'm going to have the video of from this on heathergold.com, and the idea is collective inquiry, a kind of people power talk show. So if you want to keep talking about this, I'll try my best to support the conversation of this topic, especially the gender stuff. I'd like to go into more because I think it's how we internally experience it, and that's something that's not as big a panel conversation, but is a part of our lives. In fact, next up is, did you want to say something? Anka, who works with me.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can follow that one. but I actually, I just have a plea to the people that are upset by gossip. Just don't spread it. Don't post it. Don't repeat it. Like, that's the only thing you can really do. And, you know, there's always two sides to every story, and every person that you talk about is a human being. So you can't just, you know, just spread whatever news you have just to make yourself feel better about it.
Okay, I think that's going to close. Thank you, Anka. Thank you, everybody. And Julia, thanks for surprising us.